Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. May 1st to 7th is Choose Privacy Week, originated and run by the American Library Association and supported by a number of other concerned organizations ranging from the Society of American Archivists to the Electronic Privacy Information Center. The idea behind the week and the site, which is located at chooseprivacyweek.org, is expressed pretty simply at that website. Quote, "In an information age, it's vital to protect the impulse to be curious, read, and learn. Yet people seem resigned to the loss of their privacy rights because they see no recourse. We aim to spark a national conversation on privacy. Check out your local library to see if there are any special events designed to forward that conversation during Choose Privacy Week in your neighborhood. As our contribution to the privacy conversation here at the Electronic Cottage, we thought this might be a good opportunity to update what's happening in U.S. government circles with regard to personal privacy and surveillance by government agencies. The recent Apple-FBI disputes have brought government efforts to gain access to the information of individuals back to the fore once again, as did Edward Snowden's revelations about the National Security Agency's secret spying on Americans several years ago. This is a good moment for an update, since several events have occurred in recent weeks which pertain to the question of what intelligence agencies are doing in terms of spying on Americans and, of course, the rest of the world. For example, what real changes, if any, have been made since the passage by Congress in June 2015 of the USA Freedom Act, which renewed many parts of the Patriot Act that were scheduled to sunset? That law also made some changes in the National Security Agency's bulk collection of telecommunications metadata on essentially every call made in, or to, or from the United States. It's perhaps interesting that the original name of the bill was simply USA Freedom, which supposedly stood for, quote, "Uniting and Strengthening America by Fulfilling Rights and Ending Eavesdropping, Dragnet Collection, and Online Monitoring Act." Since the final bill certainly didn't accomplish those ends, wiser heads in Congress prevailed, and the title was quietly changed to the USA Freedom Act, with no acronyms involved. There's no question that the publicity surrounding the Snowden revelations has had the effect of even some congresspeople, not to mention a significant portion of the public at large, wanting to know just how extensive government surveillance of private individuals' communications is in this country, under what laws such surveillance is conducted, and what happens to the information once it's collected. No one really knows the answers to those questions, including the members of Congress who are supposedly overseeing the work of the 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. Last week, 14 of the ranking members of both parties of the House Judiciary Committee sent a letter to the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, asking for a ballpark estimate of how many U.S. communications are being caught up in bulk data collection by America's intelligence agencies, such as the NSA. The committee's rationale for the request was in part because, quote, "We require your assistance in making a determination that the privacy protections in place are functioning as designed," end quote. This information has been requested several times in the past by individual members of Congress, with no response forthcoming. This time, however, Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act will be expiring in 2017 if it isn't renewed. That's the statute under which intelligence agencies claim that they're entitled to do this kind of dragnet electronic data collection. So perhaps there may be a response to Congress's requests. We'll have to see. Meanwhile, Mr. Clapper perhaps began realizing that many Americans were losing faith in the integrity of widespread intelligence activities that are conducted under the deepest secrecy, such that, as we've just seen, even the congressional committees that are supposedly supervising intelligence agencies remain in the dark about how they go about their business. So, Mr. Clapper, in June of 2015, established a set of, quote, principles of intelligence transparency for the intelligence community, end quote. According to those principles, the intelligence community will, quote, be proactive and clear in making information publicly available through authorized channels, including taking affirmative steps to A, provide timely transparency on matters of public interest, B, prepare information with sufficient clarity and context so that it's readily understandable, C, make information accessible to the public through a range of communications channels, such as those enabled by technology, D, engage with stakeholders to better explain information and to understand diverse perspectives, and E, in appropriate circumstances, describe why information cannot be made public. End quote. In order to assist the Director of National Intelligence in implementing these principles, Mr. Clapper established, on April 5, 2016, the Intelligence Transparency Council. That council, now active and including representatives from all members of the U.S. intelligence community, is scheduled to meet for the first time in the near future, perhaps even during Choose Privacy Week. Pretty exciting for both congresspeople and for us ordinary Americans. Except, of course, that first meeting of the Intelligence Transparency Council will be held behind closed doors. The more things change, .. There have also been some recent court rulings about the constitutionality and legality of privacy-compromising government surveillance. And there's also been a release, for the first time, that shows what data can be requested under an FBI Section 215 demand for information from a private business that's not allowed to tell its customer that the customer's personal information has been handed over to the FBI. It's very interesting reading. We'll take a look at that FBI data request, as well as some of those recent court decisions and what they mean for us as we go about our daily lives in our digital world, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.